I do appreciate those songs about faith, because we're going to talk a little bit about faith tonight. We want to talk about Hannah, who was a very strong woman of faith. You know, in the Old Testament contains many role models as we think about them. Role models, great men, Noah, Abraham, Joshua, Moses, David, and Daniel. We think of them on a regular basis. And there's great women of faith like Sarah and Ruth and Naomi and Esther. And it's a wonderful role model for our faith tonight as we think about the great things of God. One of the greatest things, in my opinion, that God ever did was making woman. And I mean that seriously. And we learn quite a bit from the Old Testament role models like Hannah. Hannah was the mother of Samuel, if you remember that. And he was one of the greatest prophets that are written about in the Bible for Israel, and whose story is told in the first two chapters of 1 Samuel. As his birth. And from just a simple reading of the material in these two chapters, we can glean several different lessons from Hannah. And she was indeed a woman of faith. We want to open it now to 1 Samuel chapter 1, and we're going to read chapter 1, verses 1 through 8, just to begin. And what we learn about Hannah in this Old Testament, how she is that wonderful role model, and I pray that we'll glean a few things from that. So let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 1 through 8, and we'll talk about Hannah, a woman of faith. Now there was a certain man of Rephaim Zophim of the mountains of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Eliu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuf, an Ephraimite. And he had two wives, and the name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Penaniah. And Penaniah had children, and Hannah had no children. This man went up from his city early, yearly, to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. Also the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And whenever the time came for Elkanah to make an offering, he would give portions to Phinehas, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, although the Lord had closed her womb. And her rival also provoked her severely to make her miserable because the Lord had closed her womb. So it was year by year when she went up to the house of the Lord that she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. And Elkanah, her husband, said to her, "Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? And why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons?" And as we think about what we're reading here, you know, it's kind of obvious that this woman of faith had to endure real problems. And I think we can all relate to that in one way or another. And Hannah certainly did. She had problems. First of all, when we look at this, we notice that in verse 5 that the Lord had closed her womb. The Lord closed her womb, which was sort of a stigma in those days, and people were ridiculed and mocked for such a thing. And so Hannah had to deal with that. And not only did he close her womb, but in verses 6 through 8, we notice that she was provoked and miserable. So much so that she wept and didn't eat. And that's hard for anybody. And many of us may be able to relate to that. But what we can learn from this woman that had been living for so long, year after year, and being provoked and reviled and severely miserable, having her womb closed, what we learn from this is that Hannah was a woman of faith. And then when we think of a woman of faith, women of faith are not without problems. There are things that come upon all women and men severely. And there are problems that are emotional. There are problems that are physical. There are problems that are relational. But problems come. And those are things that we all must face. And Hannah certainly had her share. When we think about Hannah, it's hard not to think about Job. And the fact that he certainly did have problems. The Sabaeans, they came and they raided and took his oxen and his donkey. They killed his servants. The house fell in on his children and his family, and his camels were taken away, and his sons and daughters, they died in that house, and it was a terrible thing. But when we think about Hannah, we also think, you know, about Sarah. Sarah suffered her handmaidenhood. She was despised in the eyes of her handmaiden because of we know what happened there with Abraham and going into Haggai and having a son. So there was much grief there. And so this isn't uncommon in the world that we live in. Think about these problems that the women have had and had to face. And yet Hannah did all of this, and she didn't let that detour her. She didn't let that turn away. In 1 Samuel 1 and 7, we see that year by year, it says. Now, realize this isn't something that just happened one day last week and she's living with it the rest of her life. This is every day. And every time that she met up with her husband's wife, and she would be provoked, and the woman would be treating her miserably and severely. But year after year, it says, she went up to the house of the Lord, and even though that's where she was provoked, and that's where she wept and felt most of the pain. Do you know how many people today have a difference of opinion somehow in the church, and they just never come back? And here she is year after year, it says, being provoked. In fact, so much so that she's weeping and not eating, but she kept coming back. She didn't give up on her faith. And she didn't let other people detour her and the trust that she had in the Lord. She could have used her misfortune as an excuse. They're mistreating me. Look at the way that she's treating me, and my husband's not stopping her. There's all kinds of excuses. But year after year, Hannah continued. She continued to worship the Lord. And we need to think about that. You know, when we maybe might think of not coming, what is it that's so much more than this? I mean, how would you feel if you came into this house of worship tonight and people started badgering you and calling you names and mocking you and treating you miserably? I don't think most of us would come back. But when we learn that if our faith is great, then we glorify God, especially in the hard time. Women of faith have problems just like any other woman in the world. And that what distinguishes them, the women of faith, women like Hannah, is that even though they're faced with problems, they overcome. Let's continue our reading in 1 Samuel chapter 1 in verses 9 through 18. In verse 9, so Hannah arose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, and now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat of the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. And then she made a vow and said to the Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and will not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. And it happened as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli watched her mouth. How now Hannah spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she was drunk. So Eli said to her, "How long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you." And Hannah answered and said, "No, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken until now." And then Eli answered and said, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant you your petition, which you have asked him." And she said, "Let your maidservant find favor in your sight." So the women went her way. The woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer. Her face, I'm sorry, my computer is doing crazy things here. Her faith was no longer sad. And we think, what's going on here? Hannah prayed. You know, in verse 10, with bitterness of soul, she prayed. In verse 10, at the latter part, she was weeping in anguish. And in verse 11, she offers a solemn vow to the Lord. And realize that this is a woman who's been treated terribly, year after year coming and not getting an answer to her prayers. Inside of her is just building up and building up, and yet she never gave up on the Lord. In fact, she was very persistent in verse 12. She prayed with all her heart in verse 13 and with all her soul in verses 15 and 16. She poured out her soul before the Lord, it says. A woman of faith to teach us that with faith in God's promises, she believed that this was an answer to her prayer. And we know that's an issue of faith because she went from somebody who did not eat and drink, somebody who had a bitter soul, somebody who had affliction, somebody who even though she was somebody that was very sober, just looking at her, the Eli, the priest, thought she had been drinking. And yet in all of this, the scripture says in verse 18 that she said, "Let your maidservant find favor in your sight." So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Why was her face no longer sad? Because she had faith. She believed that God now was going to answer her prayer. And when we think about learning from Hannah, she prayed fervently. She put her heart and soul into her prayer. That's what the Apostle Paul told us in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2, the first part of the continue earnestly in prayer. Some of the versions say steadfast in prayer. The latter part of Colossians 2, Paul says to us, be vigilant in it with thanksgiving. And these are two qualities that Hannah had. She was very persistent. She continued steadfastly in her prayers. And prayerfully, she believed. You know, if she didn't believe, we know that verse 18 wouldn't be there. We know that she wouldn't go ahead and eat and her face was no longer sad. Had she not believed Eli, she would have gone and continued to be sad. But she trusted the priest. She trusted God. And as a result, her faithful prayer, she believed that God would answer her prayers. With great confidence and with great compassion, she trusted this promise. This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, then He hears us. That's what she believed. And we know that if He hears us, anything we ask, and we know that we have petitions that we have asked of Him, He hears. And that's what we get from Hannah. We know because she changed her countenance. She went from a person who would not eat and would not drink, a person that wept bitterly, a person that was provoked and miserable, to somebody whose face didn't look sad anymore. We need to think about that when we have troubles in life. We need to be a people who can just turn on God and allow God to be the joy in our life. That peace that Jesus promised, and that peace that surpasses all understanding, and that peace that Jesus promised when we come unto Him. And so Hannah is a place where we learn of these things. Another thing about Hannah is that she was a woman who believed in faith, believed in the efficiency of prayer. God takes notice of such kinds of things of faith. You look in your Bibles in 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verses 1 or verse 9. 2 Chronicles 16, 9. And this is what we read. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts is loyal to Him. God is showing Himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are loyal to Him. We can see in Hannah that her heart was certainly loyal to God. Why else would she go year after year? Why else would she face all the bitterness and the anguish and the ridicule and the spitefulness? Why would she face all those things? She did it simply because her heart was loyal to Him. And in this, you have done foolishly if you don't have a loyal heart to God. And so we shouldn't be surprised when we continue reading here in 1 Samuel. We're going to read 19 and 20, and that a woman of faith experienced God's provisions. Let's read 19 and 20. Then they rose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord, and returned and came to their house in Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked for him from the Lord. Now, when you think about this, what's being done here, the Lord remembered her, it says in verse 19. And in verse 20, it says the Lord gave her a son. And she named that son Samuel. That means the name of God, but it really means more that God hears. The word Shema in Hebrew means to hear. Shema Yisrael means to hear, O Israel. And the word El means God. The name Samuel means God hears. And that's a wonderful name to be given to this young child of hers. And she gave him that name. Why? Because she knew God heard her prayers. God hears your prayers. And so we want to remember that. That's why he got that name. You know, it must be according to God's will that we pray. Remember that in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. This, now we have the confidence in Him that if we ask anything according to His will, then He will hear us. And so she prayed, but when she prayed, her prayer wasn't that, you know, this is what I want. It's remember me. Remember your maidservant. That's how she talked to God. Do not forget me. And when she prayed to the Lord, she wept. But also notice that in her prayer, she made a promise to the Lord. All the days of his life, she will give this child to the Lord. And the Lord, he will serve all the days of his life. And that's a pretty bold vow to make. But it must be according to his will. sometimes God may give us what we want. And more often than that, He gives us what we need. But it must be according to Him. We must abide also in the words of God. And in God Himself, in John chapter 15, verse 17, Jesus told His apostles, "If you abide in Me and My words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you." So we need to abide in God. And we know what that means. That means to walk alongside, to remain within His teaching and His doctrine, to do the things that He's commanded us to do. And then He will be with us. We don't have selfish prayers. Her prayer wasn't like what James, when he said that, you ask and you do not receive. You ask because you ask amiss, that you may spend it upon your pleasures. Remember, she didn't ask for something literally for herself. She asked for a child. She desired a child, but then she was going to give that child to God in God's service. Sometimes I think how important that is when we have our own children, to dedicate that child in our hearts to the Lord, to serve the Lord. And so God will always provide what we need, but it may not always be what we expect. But it will meet our needs, and it will be for our good. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, "Seek first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." And in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, Paul says, "We know all things work together for good to them that love God." You know, Hannah suffered so much and had so much strife and prayed, and all things worked together for good. Because she did, without question, love God. In Hannah's case, she received that for which she asked. But she made a vow. And as we read verses 21 through 28, let's get something from this vow. In verse 21, "And now the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, 'Not until the child is weaned.'" Why did she wait till the child was weaned? Because she knew that she was going to be giving that child up. "And I will take him that he may appear before the Lord and remain there forever." So Elkanah and her husband said to her, do what seems best to you and wait until you have weaned him. Only let the Lord establish His word." Then the woman stayed and nursed her son until she had weaned him. Now, when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bulls and one ephah of flour and a skin of wine and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young, and they slaughtered a bull and brought the child to Eli. And she said, "O my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood before you here praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition, which I asked Him. Therefore I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord." So they worship the Lord there. You know, as we read that, it's kind of hard to imagine. But Hannah kept her promise. She kept her vow. She planned from the very beginning to keep her promise. You know, in verse 22, Hannah didn't go up. And the reason she didn't go up is because she had this child that was too young to remain there the rest of his life. And she carried out what she promised in verses 24 through 28. And she worshiped the Lord. You see that? She also lent him to the Lord as long as he lives, and he shall be lent to the Lord. So they worshiped the Lord there. What a wonderful testimony, and what a thing that we can glean from all of us when it comes to faith. So many times we've heard those words, like in Matthew chapter 5 and verses 33 through 37, where Jesus is teaching about you must not swear falsely. And in verse 37, he said, "Let your yes be yes and your no be no." The same thing in James chapter 5 and verse 12 when James says, "Of all the brethren, do not swear either by heaven or earth or with any other oath, but let your yea be yea or your yes be yes and your no be no, lest you be in judgment." Well, she let her yes be yes. And that was a pretty powerful, moving yes to give up her son at such a young age that she waited so long for. And in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 4 through 5, you know, we're not Ephesians, but Ecclesiastes 5, verses 4 through 5, we're told that when you make a vow to God, don't delay to pay it. She didn't delay to pay it because God has no pleasure in fools. But pay what you have vowed, God says. And it's better to vow not to vow than to vow and not pay. But she did. So that's what we learn. We keep our vows. God has no pleasure in fools. And we need to let our yes be yes and our no be no. And she's taught that very well. You know, we should worship the Lord. And when we do that, it's the way that she did that. Fulfillment of vows and promises should not be done begrudgingly. Nobody forced Hannah to go. In fact, everybody gave her every reason on earth not to go. But she went with a grateful heart, with a heart of gratitude, to do the will of God in her life. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord, Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Hannah was a woman of faith. And finally, we note that Hannah's prayer of thanksgiving in verses chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, which is reminiscent of Mary's song. And before we read chapter 2, let's go ahead and read Luke chapter 1. Turn with me to the New Testament, Luke chapter 1, and listen to these wonderful words of Mary. In Luke chapter 1 and verses 46 through 55, Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for He has regarded the lowly state of His maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For He who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is His name. And His mercy is on those who fear Him from generation to generation. As He has shown strength with His arm, He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He has sent empty away. And He has helped His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy, as He spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever." And you think about that, and wonderful way in which Mary spoke of God. And then let's turn now to chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. And both of these prayers reveal something of the faith of women, how they express their faith in their prayers. Hannah prayed, it says, chapter 2, verse 1, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. I smile at my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. No one is holy like the Lord, for there is none beside you, nor is there any rock like our God." Talk no more so very proudly. Let no arrogance come from your mouth, for the Lord is the God of knowledge, and by Him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and those who stumble are girded with strength. Those who are for full have hired themselves out for bread, and the hungry have ceased to hunger. Even the barren has borne 7, and she who has many children has become feeble. The Lord kills and makes alive, and brings down the grave and brings up. The Lord makes poor the rich, the Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and lifts up. He raises the poor from the dust, and He lifts the beggar from the ash heap. to set them among princes and make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and He has set the world upon them. He will guard the feet of His saints, but the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by the strength no man shall prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken in pieces. From heaven He will thunder against them. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to His king and exalt the horn of His anointed. You know, think about this. Hannah's praise to God. With great joy in her heart, Hannah praises God. Praises the Lord for His help on her behalf. And we should offer our praises in the same way. We should be somebody who's being very praiseworthy of the Lord. David offered praises and the promises to God. That's something that we learn. David, he said, therefore, I will give thanks to You, O God, and the Lord among the Gentiles, and sing praises in Your name. That's David. And so no difference. And how much more should we have received the blessings of the Lord as we think about what Hannah did? How much more so when we have received the blessings from the Lord? And so praising God is how Christians offer spiritual sacrifices to God. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15, the scripture says, therefore, let by Him let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips. And that's what Hannah has done. That's what David did. And that's what Mary has done. Giving thanks to God in His name. So we need to offer these kinds of things and be like David and be Christians as we're called. So in conclusion, we see that Hannah, a woman of faith, she serves to remind us all that the women of faith, they endure real problems. They extend vibrant prayers and they experience God's provisions and excel at keeping the promises of God and expressed in their praise to God. And those are all qualities that all of us can excel in, each one. And also today, anyone, both male and female, can become a person of faith, even though we all face many problems in life. And if you're willing to come to God in prayerful obedience to the Lord and to the gospel of Jesus Christ, to receive the gift of salvation that is provided through God's Son, and remain true to the commitment that you make to the authority of the Lord and to honor Him in your life, and to offer your life and the fruit of your lips to praise Him. So it's just a short couple of chapters in the book of 1 Samuel that teaches wonderful things about this, what Hannah did and all she endured in life, but the outcome was wonderful. She brought forth a son, and that son, as we know, was a great prophet in Israel. And so keep that in mind as you meditate or contemplate on the great things of God, that God is there, and we need to approach Him in faith and obedience. For those of you that are here tonight that may not have been baptized into Christ, that's the very first step that you make in our world today, to recognize that Jesus Christ is the King of Kings, and He came to this world as a child, as a human being, born of a virgin, and He suffered under Pontius Pilate, under the hands of the Jews, and that Jesus was eventually crucified on a cross, dead and killed for your sins and my sins and the sins of the whole world. And that Jesus, dead and buried 3 days, arose from that grave by the witness of many and is now sitting at the right hand of God the Father. If you've not accepted Jesus, tonight's the night. And of course, as Christians, we know that if we need help, that's why the church is here, to help one another. So we have a song of invitation, number 515. I invite you tonight to come forward if you have any need as we stand and as we sing.